Let's pick up and take up and read from our Bibles in the Gospel according to Matthew. Reading of the parables, Jesus began to preach at a certain point in his ministry. And we've been considering several of them that are found in Matthew chapter 13. And we take up now the parable of the dragnet, verse 47, and I'm going to read through verse 52. So we have an application that Jesus would have us make with regard to this parable, but also with regard to our understanding of all of the parables that Jesus has been teaching. So Matthew 13, the word of God at verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' words here. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to them, and this would be to the disciples, I believe. He's been speaking some of these to the multitude, but now to the closer group of disciples. Then he said to them, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Thus far we read, the kingdom of the dragnet, the kingdom of heaven likened to a dragnet, and the piercing question of Jesus, have you understood all these things? We have been considering the cluster of parables here in Matthew chapter 13, seven or eight of them, depending on how you count. And these parables reveal clearly to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear the things of the kingdom of heaven, specifically the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus himself is revealing in his ministry, and the kingdom of heaven that he will establish in his blood. We have considered these parables. Now we consider the last of Matthew 13, and then there will be a break from some of the parables until we get to more of them later on in the narratives of Matthew. We've considered the parable of the soils and the parable of the wheat and the tares, so that there's different results in the kingdom. We've considered just recently the parable of the growth of the kingdom, and the mustard seed and the leaven, and also the worth of the kingdom in the treasure hid in the field and in the pearl of great price. Now we have the kingdom of the dragnet, and it is really similar to, especially to the parable of the wheat and the tares. Remember that parable where the Son of Man in the world sows the good seeds in the field, and he goes about, and then in the night the devil comes and he sows bad seeds, so that there's wheat and there's tare, this darnel. It wasn't just an ordinary weed, it was a bad thing. Unrecognizable, undiscerned, it could not be discerned between the wheat and the tares until harvest time. So Jesus says, don't tear them up or harvest them together. Besides, you might end up taking up some of the wheat in your zeal to rid the field of tares. This parable of the dragnet is a similar sort of parable, has to do with the gathering of the kingdom. And if we could say that this is a difference, we might want to at least consider it. The parable of the wheat and the tares, you have an established field. There's wheat there, and then there's tares that are sown. And here, in this dragnet parable, you have the kingdom of heaven and the gospel of the kingdom going out. And so may we say it's like on the mission field. In both instances of the wheat and the tares in the field and in the dragnet in the sea, there's a mixed result. There's wheat and tares in the church, and on the mission field, there's the good and the bad fish, which will be separated in the judgment. In all of these parables, Jesus is urging reflection. He says in different times, after some of the parables, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." He doesn't want the words to drop on deaf ears so that the hearers be found to be those who aren't getting it. Maybe there are tares in the field as well. And so here, with this piercing question, he says, puts to the disciples at the end of the parable before us, but I believe it applies to all of the parables. "Have you understood all these things?" Applying to all the parables. So he's asking for and demanding an answer. And this, beloved, is exactly what he's asking of and demanding of us, an answer. And you see, he's not just wanting that we understand it, not only, but we truly appreciate what he's saying. Our understanding here is to appreciate what he's saying. So on Jesus' behalf, I would preach the parable of the dragnet and the catch and the judgment, so that we can answer Jesus' question that he's going to put to us at the end of the sermon, not only, but as we're preaching, "Do you understand this? Do you appreciate this?" We can answer affirmatively, every one of us, and go home with the confidence that, yes, indeed, Jesus has spoken to us, and we are among the fish that he would gather and gather even to heaven. So we want to consider this parable of the dragnet. First of all, what that is, and then the separation. And that would have to do with the explanation of the good and the bad. The angels come and they separate the good and the bad. And then that question, "Have you understood all these things?" by way of application. Well, here we have a parable that has to do with the gathering of the kingdom. Even as the sowing of the wheat and then the sowing of the tares in the field has to do with the gathering of the kingdom in the church. Maybe here in particular is the gathering of the church from the nations. The sea, after all, in the Bible is a figurative expression for the wicked. Isaiah says the wicked are like the troubled sea. In Revelation 17 and verse 15, you can look that up. The wicked or the nations and the peoples of the earth are likened to the sea. And so you have this idea that there's this troubled sea of nations, this restless generation, these people to whom the gospel's going out. And that's the point here. The dragnet, the kingdom of heaven, which is likened to a dragnet, is a picture of the gospel being sent into all the nations. And children, and maybe all of us need to be more familiar with this metaphor here, this figure of speech of a dragnet. That was a reference to a very heavy net. It's used only here in the New Testament, this dragnet. There's other words for nets that would refer to maybe a small casting net that an individual fisherman would use and cast on the Sea of Galilee to catch maybe bait fish or other kinds of fish. But this is a large net. He weighted on one side, we're told, and maybe corks or other flotation devices on the other, so that there might be a boat that would go out into the sea a little ways, and then people on the shore, and the boat going out with one end of the net, both the top part with the corks and the weighted part, and then the people on the land holding the other end. And then the boat coming round back to the sea so that there's this, or back to the shore, so that there's this gathering of anything in its path in that net. And so that on the shore, once again, the net is dragged in. And they try to hold as many as they can. And the fish are separated according to their usefulness. Could be also that there's two boats involved in this, not just people on the land, but a boat here, a boat there. And they circle the nets, as it were, to gather in what fish they can for their eating, for their selling. So this is the figure here. And The figure is so that there is this separation at the at a certain time after the net is full of fish, and there's a separation so that the good only are taken and the bad are rejected. It may be even that the rejected ones, because they didn't want to catch them again, they weren't just too little, they were bad, and be thrown on the shore, and so they wouldn't catch them again. And here this is likened to when the angels will come forth in the judgment day at the end of the age, verse 49. The agents of Jesus in the judgment, the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just and cast the wicked into the furnace of fire. That's hell. And there would be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, this judgment, in fact, is described also with regard to the wheat and the tares. In verse 41 and so on, the Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that those who practice lawlessness will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear this judgment repeated here. This warning and this judgment that this is what happens at the end of the age. Well, this gospel fishing, as it were, has already been taught to us in the book of Matthew when Jesus was calling the disciples, and no less than four of the 12 disciples were fishermen by trade. First, Jesus said, I'm going to call you, I am calling you now to become fishers of men. So they leave their nets behind and they go to learn the discipleship of being fishers of men, that is, agents in the salvation of God. And this is what now, in a larger sense, this dragging of the drag is. It's a picture of the church's involvement and the church's ministers and the church's people in their involvement in this thing called the catching of the fish. That is, the purpose is to catch the good fish. That's the purpose of the worldwide preaching of the gospel, the sea of nations wide preaching of the gospel. That there be this gathering of the elect of God. That's the purpose. Even as the purpose of the farmer in the planting of the wheat is a wheat field, purpose of the shepherd in shepherding sheep and their welfare, so God would gather his elect from every nation, tribe, and tongue, and in this way, by fishing for them. We're not told what exactly are the details of how there's good fish and bad fish. The rest of the New Testament, in its doctrinal statements, tells us that by grace there's some good fish, and when others are passed over in grace, there's bad fish that remain. But we are told here of a phenomenon in the kingdom that when there's preaching, there's going to be good and bad. Are in the sphere of the preaching in the church and on the mission field. Some people, rather mature and they're immature in their understanding of this, don't get this. They think that there ought to be a pure church as we gather them, and maybe we can do something to make it pure. But Jesus has said in the parable of the wheat and the tares, and he says here, that won't happen till the end of the time. Even though we may do church discipline, and we must, nevertheless, the point is that God is the one who knows the hearts, and he actually is the one who knows and to separate them at the end of time. And so there's this promiscuousness of the gospel preaching. That is, this fact that it goes everywhere. The net is thrown wide over the seas, not just once, but twice. And three times, and thousands of times over the thousands of years since the history of Jesus coming in the fullness of the time. This is something that's described here, the kingdom of heaven being described here as the ongoing work of the church. And it is the work of Christ, of course. Our catechism is correct that the church is gathered by the Son of God from heaven and by his Spirit and Word. God does the gathering. And when we read here of angels at the end of time doing the separating, let's not forget that in place like Matthew 25 and also in this parable of the wheat and the tares, the Son of Man is the one who's the chief judge and separator of the good and the bad. He uses angels. The Bible says also that the elect will accompany Jesus on the judgment day and participate in the judgment even of angels. We shall judge angels, so says the apostle in one of his epistles. We have that dignity as the elect of God. Be that as it may, it's the Son of God's work in the church as it's manifest in this world. And things are far from perfect here. There's soil that's only one quarter of it where the word is planted actually sprouts and yields good seed. And there's wheat and there's tares and now there's fish and there's good and there's bad. And that's not something to discourage us, Jesus says. Understand, be ready for. But it serves as an impetus and a motivation for us to be in the work, to be in the work of fishing, to be in the work of casting out the seine, that is, that great net in the sea of the nations, and ourselves not to be discouraged when there's bad fish, maybe in the church or on the mission field, and things that are, well, they reflect the reprobation of God, as we shall see presently. So Jesus is speaking of this way, this very common way, this phenomenon that's central to the kingdom and its gathering and its manifestation. In other places, as many are called, referring to the call chosen, and is referring to the same thing, that there's many to whom the word of God goes out under the sphere or the net of the kingdom. They've heard it, and they of all people are going to be judged at the end of time as they respond negatively, and they won't heed the call of the gospel, and they'll be regarded as the bad fish who are thrown on the shore and then into the pit of fire. But there's good fish, and for this we keep on fishing, and the Son of God through us does this as well. And we fish everywhere. That is, everywhere God gives us to go. You realize He doesn't give us to go anywhere, just anywhere. And He doesn't, in practically everywhere at once, or wherever you want. He guides us, gives us the funds, the resources, the open doors, as the Bible says, and to go everywhere He sends. We are those, in fact, who know that though there's bad fish, don't discriminate. We don't say, well, you know, that area over there, that's rather swampy. We're just getting over there and turtles and get eaten by alligators. We're not going to go over there and that lagoon over there. And besides, we've been told before that missionaries have been there before and they've been eaten. So we don't want to go there. You know what? We may not do that. In fact, the canons of Dort lead the way. The canons of Dort, which speak of the particularity of redemption, that God has only certain people from eternity and for whom Jesus died. The canons of Dort say, nevertheless, the gospel must be declared wherever God tells us to throw out the nets. We might have been throwing out the net on that side of the boat even. And Jesus comes to us on the shore and shouts, cast it on the other side. And behold, we may just get a flock of fish like we've never got before. Amazing. This gospel. There's something about the preaching here, though, on which I would focus with you. The fact is that they gather the kingdom of heaven people and those who are involved in it. They cast into the sea and they gather some of every kind. You see that in verse 47? That's a fascinating thing to meditate upon. Of every kind, to me, of the fact that God is no respecter of persons. All kinds of people are gathered into the kingdom, at least into the external sphere of the kingdom, the net, as it were, for the sake of God's gathering by His people. Now, fishermen, I understand, and I'm no pro at this, to be sure. They, when they're wanting to catch a certain kind of fish, they bait it a certain way. They go at a certain depth, and and do things to attract just the walleye and not the pike or not the catfish. And this, however, this casting of the net is for the purpose of casting the net to gather of every kind. That's just what happens, but it is the purpose of God here. The kingdom of heaven is like God purposing in the gathering, in the casting of nets by the church, big drag nets, to gather of every kind. It would be incorrect if a church wanted to gather, say, of only certain kinds, so that maybe we make the holes of the net so that they don't fit the big ones or the small ones or the ones of a certain shape. I don't know how you'd make a net like that, but maybe it would be baited so that only certain kinds of fish would go after it. Who knows? Or it would be only at a certain depth. And again, maybe not in the swamp over there, but somewhere on the high seas and where we know there's going to be cultured people gathered into our church and people who can. Here you have something that's taught by way of parable of how God shows mercy and how God himself gathers his church. He doesn't look and see. Now, that's a black fish. That fish, I don't want in my net, in my kingdom. That's a red fish. There's a yellow fish over there. And there's a brown fish. And I don't want them. Just the white ones. Just the white ones. I just want them in there. Or just the big ones. Really have good meat. They go for a lot of money. They're worth a lot. I can sell them. In fact, I'm going to sell them so much that they're going to be standouts in my kingdom and in my church. They're going to have the front rows. And they don't even have to pay. Just show up and we'll attract people like them. All this is found in here, and not by way of digging too deep, is it? Because it's what the Bible is all about in the New Testament, this grace wide as the ocean, as we sing. Wide as the ocean. And so it's a net that goes out and a gospel that goes out. Jesus Christ, who died for the ungodly, to enter in and baits them, as it were, lures them, as it were. Whatever you do to fish, with this prospect that you can be God's child through faith. Isn't that something? And you don't have to jump so high. Believe. Believe. And you don't have to be of a certain color, a certain shape. You don't have to be found in a certain situation and be right in the right circumstances and on the right side of the tracks. The other side of Pulaski Road, as we would say in Long Island, where I was from, in the good neighborhood. God chose. And Jesus, again, he's revealing this parabolically in a rather cryptic way. These are things new. Things new. Things that could be discovered in the Old Testament. It wasn't the case that the Old Testament, well, God had nets just because of their noses and they fit in. There were noses or nets with noses and the shape of noses and Jewish customs and so on. No. We're saved by grace. And funny thing, Jonah learned this in the belly of the whale. Salvation is of the Lord. Yes. Not just of the Jews, but also of the Ninevites. God is pleased to save his own there. So something that we ought to remember here. This is the great expedition of the gospel, the fishing expedition. We go and we don't make our nets of a certain kind to catch only certain kinds of people. We present simply the gospel net, the gospel message. You don't color it. You don't shape it to fit certain people's likings and things that aren't going to offend them. Oh, no, don't ever do that. You got to have a certain kind of net for these certain kind of people. Otherwise, you're going to be turned away. That church is no longer the church of Christ. The kingdom of heaven is like the dragnet that God himself has said is the dragnet. It's like the gospel. It's like the good news that God saves sinners. It's like the thing from heaven which the gospel is that saves those in the sea and at the bottom of the sea, dead in sins, calling for trust in a Savior and the following along a way of faith that leads to heaven. So God gathers through the church some of every kind. It's not always a distinction of a true church that there's some of every kind in every church. That is, as we would say, every kind. Otherwise, we'd be rebuked constantly because there's no black people in this church. No Mexicans, nobody like in the church down the road. Maybe true, though. Why aren't there? Just don't rub shoulders with them? There's all kinds of reasons for this. There's all kinds of reasons to blame why there's black churches, white churches, Mexican churches, whatever churches. Or a mixture of churches in the name of, well, being a dragnet church that ends up being compromised. There's all kinds of problems in the Church of Christ. But here, we're simply seeking to be faithful, to understand. God uses a dragnet to draw of every kind. Not have holes so big, holes so small, holes so shaped, or nets so thrown that they only go to certain places to catch certain people. I may not make a sermon like that. Elders may not require that of me, that I preach so that it's only catering to the crowd. And catering to people that would be respectable. Yes, there's room in the net. Or the pink-haired person, the man, the woman, the sinner. And when all are gathered in, then there's the judgment day. Second point. There's not much of the gathering of the church here of every kind, but more said about what happens when it's full, the net's full. And that I would interpret it to mean when all the elect of God are gathered in. Jesus speaks of that in Matthew 24. When the very last elect is gathered in, then the Son of Man will come. When God's purpose in saving His church is realized, then there's the coming of the Son of Man and the judgment day. So, when the net is full and brought to shore, and we sit down and gather the good into vessels, but through the best. Here, of course, a reference to the angels coming and separating the wicked from the just. And the emphasis is on the casting into hell of all of the unjust. This is another graphic description of Judgment Day. And amazing how Jesus brings this out. Jesus, the preacher of heaven, is the preacher of hell. Par excellence, in his warnings and his teachings, directly in his parables, it's all quite often about judgment. Be warned about judgment. People don't know this Jesus anymore. They don't read their Bibles. They would excise these parts out of the Bibles, but Jesus would not have us do that. You see, that would be tearing the net, wouldn't it? That would be, Jesus said, may not be separated from the gospel, the good and the evil, and the deliverance from evil. We need to remember this. Judgment Day is on the foreground here. The end of the age is separation. Now, I want to say this. This is not denying that there's also a separation before the Judgment Day of the good and the bad fish. That would be the righteous, God's people, and the wicked who are not in Christ and not justified by faith. Before Judgment Day, I say there's a separation. And we say this. So, for example, before the foundation of the world, there's a distinction that God makes between who and who are called reprobate. God chooses some. Before the foundation, Jacob and Esau had done any good. He chooses Jacob over Esau. And this to show that he is the God of a decree and he will save his own. And that's the purpose of this parable, to save God's own. We may not discriminate and pick and choose, but God himself has already done so. And even in the gospel preaching itself, there is a distinction that God makes and a separation. as people hear the gospel. You know what this is? The apostle says in 2 Corinthians 2, I believe, that this is an aroma of Christ. The gospel goes like a great smell. And the smell is of life unto life for the believers. They are believing and they are made alive even more by this reviving influence. But it's a smell of death unto death for the unbelievers. And this, Paul says, is a great mystery of the gospel preaching, the twofold effect of it. But it is for the victory of God. Thanks be to God, Paul says, who gives us always to triumph in Jesus Christ. And so, let's put it this way. Back to the parable of the net and the fishing. When the church goes fishing, she never comes back without her quota, as it were, without the catch. Even if, say, on the shore, they were all dead fish, they all to be thrown away, it would still be a successful day of Christ and the Christ of the church. He was not failing in his fishing. He never has a bad day, does he? Nor does the church. Even if there's bad things that happen, and this is a sad thing in the church, and we don't desire that people just go to hell and the preaching of the gospel. Nevertheless, this is what's happening. This is what always happens in the preaching. To one, it's foolishness, sweet savor of God unto life. It's the power of God unto salvation. You're hearing this. Hearing this on the internet, live streaming maybe. God is always a successful fisherman. And he never says with remorse, you should see the one that got away. He never says that. The gospel isn't about fish stories. It's about the true story, victory of God in the ages. Going forth, here described as on a fishing trip. So there's this separation. Little is it understood, but it is true that even at the cross of Calvary, there was separation there. Separation. Amazing judgment. Now is the judgment of this world come, Jesus says, as he's being crucified, about to go to be crucified. Now is the judgment of the world. Judgment? I thought this was salvation. What is? But it's judgment too. Judgment beginning at the house of God. Some being gathered into the net, having heard the gospel, for whom there's woes because they heard and rejected the gospel and they want nothing of the Christ and they shout, crucify him, crucify him. And others just ignore. They say, oh, what is truth? He seems like a kind man, a nice man. Why don't you just take Barabbas instead? So many today. Many today, they were judged at the cross. Think of that. Judgments and God's judgments don't occur just when you don't believe. They occurred on Calvary, just as salvation occurred there on Calvary. All our sins were atoned for. Not personally, because the gospel must come to us. And the application of it must be made by faith, and the calling is believed so that there's this personal appropriation of the things of heaven and heaven's cross and heaven's son. But even before there was the judgment of the world, Christ died for the sheep entrusted to him, for the fish. And beloved, when there is a separation, then, at the end of time, it's an ordained separation, something that's been occurring, and now it is decisive and public. We read in other places of the public judgment, the end of time, and again, that's only brought out parabolically here. The angels come forth, they separate the wicked from the just, the unguided and the righteous. They cast the wicked into the furnace of fire, and the pain is described as wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's public then. what has been decreed and what is now made known as something that occurred in the way of the rejection of the gospel. Here in this judgment, there is a judgment not simply because of a decree that one might be judged. Reprobation is not in the same manner as election, our fathers said, which is sovereign and free. So also is reprobation. But the election of God is by grace. God makes the good fish, having chosen, he shows grace to them. But the reprobation occurs justly in the way of those fish trying to get out of the net, wanting to reject everything that's said from a pulpit and find an excuse of the preacher. You see, easiest way to get the message is shoot the messenger. It often happens in a church. You shoot the messenger. They don't like the message. Now, beloved, people do that all the time in one way or another. They hate this gospel. They hate the gospel preaching and the throwing out of the net. They want to push us off to the side and you go fish over there. But don't come into our waters. This is our land. This is our sea. This is our humanity. We want to be restless on our own. If you say that of us, we're going to be restless. Fine. At least we're having fun. Separation at the end of time. It's awesome. The final separation. Hell and heaven. Sheep and the goats. Look at Matthew 25. For the elect is prepared this place of heaven. For the devil and his angels and the bad fish is prepared destruction and hell. In conclusion, beloved, have you understood all these things? Have you understood them all? All these things of all the parables. The fact that there's a sower who goes forth to sow, and only a quarter of the fields where he sows produce anything worth using and worthy of the fruit of the Spirit, real fruit of the Spirit. There's the parable of the wheat and the tares. It's a parable of the worth and the gathering of the kingdom, those twin parables, two of them. What about it? Have you understood this? Have I understood this and appreciated this? Just for example, do we appreciate the worth of the kingdom? The worth of it. It's a pearl of the greatest of price for which we sell everything. Everything. We sell away our rights, whatever time we want and whatever we want to do. We sell away all our talents. That is, we give them all up into the service of Christ. We believe something that's impossible to believe, that God would dwell with sinners. We believe that word and that sweet grace of God that attracts me. I love that. And I leave everything for that. And I buy the field by faith. Now, what about specific application with regard to this parable? Have you understood all the things of this parable? Have I? So, for example, beloved, do you see yourself as in the net? Are we in the net? Are we in the net? How do you know you're in the net? How do you know you're a good fish in the net? And how do you know, therefore, that you're truly in the net? That you belong in that net? That crass fisherman's things with the barnacles on it and everything else, and there's these other bad fish and they smell even before they get to shore and so on, and you can smell death all in them. But you know there's a difference. You know that you belong in this net. This net was for you. This Jesus who was preached, whom you heard, and now for whom you come to church is for you. And that's secondly, do you appreciate that net and being in the net? You see, this is a rather... And we don't want to stretch the metaphor here, the parable, to try to find a meaning about everything. When I think of being dragged by the dragnet into the shore, I don't find a very pleasing thing, dragged around and maybe drowning till you get to the shore, and then finally you're saved. And the problem, beloved, is when we try to press this too hard, but there is some appreciation for the net that has to be understood here. Some appreciation for what is it to be in the kingdom of heaven. In other places, it's said to be the kingdom. It is a kingdom. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is like that. Go from the net to the place of royalty. This net is a place of royalty, a place of security, a place of diamonds and jewels and wealth untold, and where the glory to this God who's loved you so that you can love Him. That's the parable. Are you in the net? Do you appreciate that net? Do you? Now, beloved, then do we ourselves cast the net? Do we cast the net? See, the fish themselves, ironically, are also the fishermen. And the ones who are fished and caught by the church and by God through the church, they become the fishermen. So that has to be understood by us. If we're in the net and we appreciate the net, do we ourselves cast the net and love to cast the net? Very important. One other thing I'd say, I know there's only four or so, but it's this. If we would be those who are heeding this and appreciating the gospel here and the warning, we would be those who are careful for the other nets. You see, there's many nets that are being cast on the seas. There's one net of the kingdom of heaven and of Christ. One legitimate dragnet, the true gospel church, and Christ using the gospel church to gather in the good and the bad and for the separation of the judgment day. But there's other nets, and I refer to the nets of Satan. Satan wants to catch us as one who is of darkness wants to catch us truly and to sink us all and to kill us all and to take us to the pit of hell. All kinds of ways he does this. You're not caught by Satan's net, are you? That would be the net of the false gospel, the net of humanism, the materialism and narcissist tendency, narcissism. That would be the net, the trap that appeals to your pride and to your sensuality, to your illusion with the outward church, because there's so many good and bad things in the church and so on. I can't stand that net. So there's another net. And that's being cast. And man, they seem to be having fun in that net. And they seem to be swimming along. Oh, that's the other thing I'd say of this net. Are you swimming even though you're in the net? That's an odd thing. But in the net of the gospel and by grace, we're not just dragged to the shore. We swim. We swim the way the net is going. We are free for once. But now, this other thing though, this other nets. We need to be warned about this. Many, many nets cast on the seven seas of humanity. Many nets. All of the Satan and his agents, his devils, his demons, his false churches, his seminarians fresh out of seminary, leading people to hell. Careful. And be careful, beloved, of this one thing that I've harped on for a long time here. Be careful of the internet. Net. Careful. Why? Because it's such a good thing. And you can't live without it. I'll say this. I said once, there's no cell phones in heaven. There's no internet in heaven. Get used to it. Maybe you could even thrive without it so often as you think you need. The internet and Satan by it is killing us off one distraction at a time. one time looking at that instead of gazing into the lovely eyes of your wife, men, or of your husband. One distraction here, one thing of entertainment there, rather than playing with a kid, or rather than doing something useful. Ministers, we're not aloof to the internet. It's hard to be a Christian today, isn't it? This is the thing. This is the thing of things. And to be denied an account on Twitter, that's the most terrible thing in the world. Beloved, the most terrible thing in the world is to be denied the freedom to throw the net of the gospel, to be a believer in this world. Let's have our priorities straight. Let's know what really are bad nets and what really is the good net. You see, when Jesus says, "Have you understood these things?" The answer, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." So they accepted the rather humiliating fact that they were just fish in the net and not the fishermen. Not in this parable. They were just fish in the net. God of God. To God be all the glory. He's the God of the net, beloved. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The gathering of the fish into the net. And then to be taken to heaven. Kept in a basket. Kept, we don't know where the angels put us, but it's a safe place. Until the day when we shall go to glory. Now that's the beauties of the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand it? Do we appreciate it? Amen. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Oh, help us to preach it, to hear it. Make us, Lord, good fish, better fish, better fisherman, better church, better husband, better wife. All of these things, Father, we are keenly aware that we're not worthy of even being in the sphere of the casting of the net, let alone in it and swimming along in the way that you want us to go. But you have made us to be your people, justified us freely through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he is worthy to be caught for, to serve. And Lord, so that we might serve him. Hear our prayer. Bless us. And may this congregation rise up in joy and conclude its Sabbath day with an eagerness to serve you all the week long, fishing and bringing in the fish. For Christ's sake, amen.